was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a cockroach. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that Saint Nexon would be there. The children were all asleep in their beds, with visions of sugar plums dancing in their little heads. And Mom in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down to a good evening drunk. Merry Christmas from the secret underground compound of Snake Alley.
Childhood memories just wash over me like a flood. Hey, I can't breathe. Happiness and innocence, everything so clean and crisp. Now Christmas mean nothing to me. Hypocrites, and if Jesus was alive, hey, he'd be pissed. Oh, I'm high for Christmas, wasted, going out of my mind. Oh, I'm high for Christmas, 'cause what I see and feel, yeah, I don't lie. Hey!
Welcome to Snake Alley. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm here, Bob Noxious. Jeff is here. And we also have two other guests. We have my lovely girlfriend, Pam Rogers. And we also have Larry Reinhardt, who happens to be the son of Jeff. That sounds good. Well, now that we're really into the holy days, the holidays, and we got this big controversy over Saint Christmas, let's go ahead and look at a really nice science fiction, pagan, Christian kind of movie, I think. I don't know what it is. It's Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. And directed by Nicholas Webster. Probably the only thing he ever did, right?
Anything noteworthy, unless you would rather call it notorious.
Okay, I first saw this thing probably, I'm guessing, maybe six to eight years after it came out, for a quarter at the Melvin Theater, which the neighborhood's always been bad here in South St. Louis. And we'd go down there, and my friend Steve Fairchild mentioned that he was always afraid of going down there because the Santa Claus would try to feel him up. As they gave you this little quarter sack of little candy, you know, and it would be that in like Gulliver's Travelers or something. But this one stands out as just being probably one of the worst movies ever. It was made in 1964, and I guess the only star in Pia Zadora, which never starred anything else. This is the biggest thing she ever did. And there's some other people, John Call, and Jeff will talk.
Actually, John Call was he had been a character actor for over 20 years in films, and he had a continuing role in Swiss Colony wine commercials in the late 60s where he played the little old winemaker.
All right. And, well, basically, the plot for this movie is that Santa Claus gets kidnapped by the Martians because the Martian kids are obsessed with Earth TV that they happen to be receiving. And the Martians get mad, and some old Gandalf guy, they summon him, and he tells them, "You gotta go get Santa Claus and bring him to Mars." So they bring him to Mars, and, I mean, a lot of stuff happens here, doesn't it? I mean, give me a description. Well, let's see. Anybody want to give me a description on the costumes or anything? Larry, you want to tell me something about the sets, the costumes? This is all filmed in a hangar in L.A. somewhere.
Well, I have to say, like, thank God for cardboard, tinfoil, and cheap, probably used football helmets when anything else as far as the...
You talking about the robot?
Oh, I'm talking about the robot. I'm talking about the Martian costume. But the robot in particular, yeah, it was a nice touch to see that when they used the bucket for the robot's head, they still left the handle on it. You know?
And there was a cardboard box, and he had some flex hose. And for shoes, he had shoe boxes.
Shoe boxes.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, you know, if they're on his feet. So.
And Pam likes music a lot, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, what about music?
Very retro.
Retro, come on. It's silly music.
Silly, yeah.
And, well, come on.
It makes repetition look like an art form.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely it's a good flick, and it's a good holiday flick. It's, of course, in the public domain and available on archive.org. And there's Air Force stock footage that they use in the beginning of it. And it's actually the same stuff that they used in Dr. Strangelove, or How to Learn to Love the Bomb. And I think it was shot in an abandoned aircraft hangar. It's all horrible. Let's go ahead and take a look at it, I guess. 1964, Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
Hooray for Santa Claus!
I'm worried about our children.
So am I. They've hardly eaten a thing in 3 days.
It goes deeper than that. They're behaving strangely. They appear to be troubled. They don't care to sleep. I had to use the sleep spray on them again. I mentioned this to my council chiefs today, and I learned it's the same with children all around the planet in every district. Something is happening to the children of Mars.
Kemar, as leader of the Martians, you must do something about it.
We interrupt our program with a special bulletin. An unidentified object has been spotted in orbit around the Earth. The Soviet Union denies it has launched any new space satellites. Our radar stations are tracking the spaceship, or whatever it is. The U.S. Air Force has alerted all defense commands and retaliatory units. Stay tuned for further bulletin.
Roto rockets number one and two, fire.
All this trouble over a fat little man in a red suit.
Here is another UFO bulletin. The Defense Department has just announced that the unidentified flying object has suddenly disappeared from our radar screens. They believe the object has either disintegrated in space, or it may be a spaceship from some other planet which has the ability to nullify our radar beams. Because of the ominous situation, the President has ordered the Strategic Air Command into action.
Mission crew, this is Kemar. When we've landed, Rigna, Voldar, and I will leave the ship to investigate. Hargo, Lomas, and Droppo will stay on board on constant alert for immediate blastoff.
What does a Martian look like?
I don't know. Nobody's ever seen one.
I don't believe there are any Martians.
You don't, huh? What would you do if a Martian walked right up behind you?
I'd scream.
Oh, stop now, Betty. I'm trying to sleep.
I see a Martian.
Boy, you and your imagination. Come on, let's go home. Who are you?
We're from Mars. Don't be afraid. We have children just like you on Mars.
What are those funny things sticking out of your head?
Those are our antenna.
Are you a television set?
Shh.
Stupid question. Is this what you want to do to our children on Mars? Turn them into nincompoops like these?
Hold your tongue, Voldar.
Well, you can see how kids would like this. You can see how adults would dig this, too, and laugh at it. And the music's great. The theme song was written by some unknown, but then a more popular guy Jeff knows a lot more about. Said he was on the Gong Show, right?
Actually, the musical soundtrack was done by a 60s and 70s television composer by the name of Milton DeLugge. Milton worked almost exclusively for Chuck Barris, starting with The Dating Game back in the mid-1960s and all the way through into the mid-70s to late 70s on The Gong Show.
How about that? Do you know that also he was on Doodles Weaver?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Found that on there. Doodles Weaver, very obscure show. Only me and Jeff would know about it as far as their very weird half-hour little show where the guy played all the parts in a silent movie-type format. And he was the conductor on there.
Mm-hmm.
The little conductor guy, that DeLugge guy. He actually had some other roles. And the cast, how about the Martians? The Martians suck, right, Pam?
The Martians are bad.
Lean into the mic a little bit and tell me how the Martians suck, as our residential science fiction expert.
Well, I think they are the worst actors in the whole thing. Actually, if they redid this today, they could probably have some good effects, and they could rewrite some of the Martians' parts.
They've redone everything else.
Yeah, they've redone
everything.
They could
definitely redo this.
I think that somebody might even be successful at it if they rewrote some of it.
Well,
I used some pretty good actors.
Oh yeah, Tom Cruise.
The actors are pretty bad.
He could make one of those Martians.
The kids are actually the best actors in this.
All right, yeah, it's pretty good. And but anyway, check it out. You can download it for free at archive.org, watch it over the holidays, or you can pick it up as a dollar DVD on eBay or a lot of these little gift shops. They have stuff. And maybe Larry's got another thing to say about this. He's watched it for his first time, right?
Actually, no, this would probably be really the second time I've seen it, because I remember seeing it, you know, years ago on television, probably on, you know, local TV, Channel 11, when Ted Koppler owned it, you know. But one of the things I actually do like about it is just this flat-out perfect cheesiness, you know. If Ed Wood was alive, he'd probably be applauding the film, you know, probably wishing he'd directed himself. But, yeah, the thing about the bad guys of the Martians, really the main bad guy was the one with the mustache, which I could, wish I could say whom that actor was, I don't know, but you can always tell the bad guy.
Who's the illegitimate father of Cheech Marin.
That's right, that's right.
Oh, and I'd like to throw in, too, that the fight scenes are completely horrendous. There's a sequence where the villain Martian supposedly delivers a punch to the leading Martian on the side of his jaw and just barely touches him. And the lead Martian feigns unconsciousness immediately. It's just ludicrous.
But you can usually tell the bad guy from the first time you see him in a film, especially in a bad film, is that he's got a mustache. And in this case, this is supposed to be the baddest bad guy because he's got the biggest mustache I've ever seen.
All right, well, you get to, you know, it's for kids, so you have to have that snidely whiplash
exactly.
Character, yeah.
Just getting ready for bed. my boots. Then I looked up on the roof and I saw a fat old man in a crazy red suit. I said, hey, hey, you, get off of my roof. Hey, hey, you, get off of my roof. Hey, hey, you, get off of my roof. If you don't stop, boy, I'll call a cop off my roof, buddy.
Hey guys, this is Copper from the Savage Kick podcast show here on GaragePunk.com Pirate Radio. Bob, Jeff, how the hell are you? Damn, it is so cool to be here. I am just tickled pink, can you tell? Keep listening to GaragePunk.com Pirate Radio and all these other kick-ass shows like Snake Alley, like One Cup of Coffee and a Cigarette. And whatever the hell else we got here anyway. So, you know, in the meantime, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas, Bob. Merry Christmas, Jeff. Hope you guys have a Happy New Year, too. Happy New Year. Don't party too hard. And drink one for me. Thank you. Of course, I'll be drinking enough of my own, believe me. All right, I got to get the hell out of here, guys. But it was cool stopping in. And hey, everybody, keep listening to GaragePunk.com Pirate Radio. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Later. We'll be right back.
coming up with our next holiday Christmas movie feature. We're looking at Christmas Evil. And we're going to go straight to Larry Reinhart. Give us the lowdown. He just watched this morning for the first time.
Yeah, actually, very first time I've seen this particular film. And I must say that considering how much it cost to make the film, that what they came up with in the process was really gold. You know, the acting was superb. The design was great. The editing, lighting, I mean, top-notch for a film of that particular, you know, genre.
And, well, what the hell is the movie about?
What is it about? Well, basically, it's about this young boy who sees his father dressed up as Santa Claus with his mother in some sexual relations.
Compromising.
Yeah, highly compromising position, and which blows
under
away
the Christmas tree.
Under the Christmas tree, you know.
Yep.
You know, it's like, I saw mommy licking Santa Claus.
Something like that.
Something
yes.
like that.
No, it wasn't that. It was the other way around.
Well, you know. Anyway, as I was saying, it's like it totally blew away his notion and embedded in his child mind that Santa Claus is a real, living, breathing person. There's only one Santa Claus. And he comes to find that's not the case. It just flips his mind to such a degree that he's scarred for life.
All right. Cut to the chase.
All right.
Which the movie does.
Yeah.
It moves right from there.
It goes from that point to present time, as to which it was shot in roughly around, what, 79, 80?
80.
Okay. And he lives in a world where basically, in his mind, every day is Christmas. He can't help but sing songs and whistle songs about Christmas. And he's, of course, working at a toy factory and obsessing over the quality of the toys as if he was Santa Claus himself. And the way he sees life in general, he sees things in either one way or another way. It's like clearly black or white. There are no shades of gray. So when he gets to that point where he flips, you know, he's going after people that he believes in his mind are detrimental to everyone else.
Okay, we only have a half hour.
Larry, sorry.
So go right into what happens, what he proceeds to do with his obsession of Santa Claus and being scarred from life, you know, childhood.
You know, between the fact that he's, you know, he's psychotic, obsessive, introverted.
I mean, and this guy has got to be the
so
biggest.
So when does he start killing everybody?
This guy's got to be the biggest sociopath since Norman Bates.
Really?
Really? You think that good? Well, I tell you what, John Waters did say it was his favorite Christmas movie, and that speaks for most sociopaths. I didn't mean to cut you off, Larry, but
no, that's okay, because I know I was just going on a tangent, but I mean, but you know, long story short, so many things lead up to a point where he flips and he basically goes after everybody who's naughty. No lump of coal. You know, a lot worse. Maybe like an axe in the head or a jab in the eye by a tin soldier, you know, stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, well, in particular, he's keeping his own little book of who's naughty
yes.
and who's nice. He's got
yes.
two little ledgers. He has one of who's naughty. He's got one of who's nice. And, you know, it doesn't happen. In the same family, he'll go in there, he'll whack
yeah.
the kid or whatever. You know, at least with the kids, I mean, he, like, throws coal. But he does go in front of the Catholic Church
yeah.
and starts sticking spikes in people's
yeah.
eyes
yeah.
because, I guess, I don't know, Catholic Church talks
about it. But it's kind of weird. He's kind of like a Christmas, you know, radical, you know, fundamentalist or something.
Well, Santa
you know?
Claus can be scary.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
I don't think so because, I don't know, it's, I think it's more of just like a, like, more Norman Bates.
Oh, very, very, you know, really, very,
Norman Bates
very Norman Bates.
Kind of thing. And all, this is one you cannot download off of archive.org. That's why you will not hear any, you know, background, any clips from it. Too bad. You got background music that'll do pretty good that kind of simulates it.
One but, thing I'd like to add, too, and that is the photography. There are so many reminiscent crossovers that were borrowed from Carol Reed's
The Third Man
with Orson Welles. I mean, the lighting, the chase sequences, everything.
And not to mention a certain granddaddy of horror films.
Frankenstein.
James Wells Frankenstein.
Lighted torches chasing the monster.
Torches in a modern-day city, like they had those like in their you know, closets or something. Ready to
so this is a good movie.
Excellent.
It's really good.
Chase.
Oh, and the ending is one of the best endings I've ever seen, where you think that Santa's going to go and pass on to the great beyond. He drives his van with the sled painted on the side, going through the side of a bridge and taking off through the sky, driving past the moon. You know, I was thinking of Cheech and Chong's next movie's ending when I saw that, how he just takes off through the sky.
What I was thinking of is like at the end, when he fights with his brother, because he gets together, finally with his brother. His brother's trying to invite him over for Thanksgiving, but he's just busy there watching the Thanksgiving Day Parade, looking at the Santa Claus that's going through the parade in New York, and he's like losing his mind on he's got all the Santa Claus memorabilia around his place. His brother calls him up and says, sorry, I can't make it over there, I'm busy.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, that he's, you know, he's driving that off there. And it definitely reminds you of, like I said, Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, I mean, did anybody see that ending coming? No, you know, you figure he's going to drive off and it'd be like, boom, big explosion or something.
No, but he's a pretty bloody Santa, but he does some good in it. But other than that, it's not available on archive.org. The first movie we've talked about, but is about... It is available, like, on a 50 DVD set that you can get for, like, $19. It's Christmas Evil. It's also called... Let me see that list there. It's also called You Better Watch Out. It's also called Terror in Toyland. Wow. It's got all these different names. It's great.
Certainly.
What happens when two washed-up horror actors are forced to share an apartment in a luxurious Hollywood retirement community? Whether you like it or not, it's Boris and Bella.
Why, if it isn't Peter. Peter Lorre. Well, God bless us. Come in, Peter. Merry Christmas.
Merry Xmas to you, my fiendish friend. I was just wondering if I could possibly borrow your laboratory.
Now, Peter, I know a couple of the children are missing. You didn't make sausage again this year, did you?
No, but I did bring you over this fine box directly from Germany of chocolate-covered spiders.
Why, that sounds heartwarming. Do you mind if I try a piece?
Oh, be my guest. When I get to go and whiz like a Russian racehorse. Please let me use your bathroom.
I'm afraid I can't let you in at this very moment, Peter. Bella is still in there. My God, he's been in there so long. He just got a shipment of medicinal presents from me.
Hello? Are you down in there? I got to go.
Please leave me alone. You've been over here so many times before. It's only programming things later. I don't know. I don't know. Eddie, help me. Help me, Eddie. Help me.
What's the matter, Boris? Did he fall in?
I'm not quite sure. You know how Bella is when he gets carried away.
And don't I ever. Night in Transylvania.
Okay, I'm out now. Go ahead. Get your fat ass in there, you child killer. Go in there. And that's only I know. You better not light the match.
Yes, because if you do, you might have a very large explosion.
We'll be right back.
right, that was the Phonocaptors. Thanks to all the bands that contributed music for this Christmas episode of Snake Alley on GaragePunk.com. Pirate Radio. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.